This episode of Sick contains a few curse words and deals with sexual themes. Just keep that in mind if you have kids around.
Matt White's entire life changed in a moment. He already knew his dad wasn't his biological father. His parents weren't able to have children without help, so they went to a fertility doctor to use an anonymous sperm donor. Matt had decided early on. He never wanted to know who the donor was. But one look at a doctor in a news story, and that decision was taken out of his hands.
There was no turning back at that point. I was just like, okay, I'm looking at my biological father. I knew instantly, without a doubt.
His mom, Liz White, put her trust in the wrong man, the wrong doctor. Donald Klein didn't use an anonymous donor. He violated Liz's trust. He used his own sperm.
So yeah, I called my mom and I asked her, I was like, you know, was your fertility doctor when you had me Donald Klein? And she hadn't thought about that name in, you know, 3 decades. And so she had to think about it. And she was like, yep, that was him. And she pretty much lost it on the phone.
I was stunned. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you ask me? Why did you take that choice away from me?
It was just such a state of shock. You just didn't know what to do. Like, there's no idiot's guide to finding this out.
I came in for a medical procedure, and now I felt like a victim of rape.
This is Sick, a podcast about what goes wrong in the places meant to keep us healthy. I'm Lauren Bavis.
And I'm Jake Harper. This season, we're looking at fertility treatment and one Indiana doctor's abuse of power. On this episode, how Dr. Donald Klein's secret was uncovered. You said, like you said, you never really had any interest in knowing who your biological father was.
Yeah.
You obviously know now.
Yeah.
I mean, does that, like, sort of mess with you a little bit?
Yeah, for the sheer fact that a part of me is from an individual who took advantage of women. He was playing God. You kind of think, did he get into this profession to basically violate women and get off on it? So that messes with you. You know, am I who I am sometimes because of him?
This kind of news would shock anyone, potentially upend how you see yourself, your idea of your parents. Your conception was the product of something deceitful. Matt kept reading about it, wanting to know more. And in the articles about Donald Klein, Matt got a name, an Indianapolis woman who helped bring this story to light. He reached out to her on Facebook. She saw his profile picture and told him, "You look like Klein's kid." At that point, she'd had a little practice identifying Klein kids. Her name is Jacoba Ballard.
Hello.
Hey, Jacoba.
Hi.
Jacoba Ballard works 24-hour shifts as an EMT. When we show up to her house, she's self-conscious that she hasn't had time to clean up.
It's way less messy than mine is, so I don't think you should worry about it.
Just don't touch anything because there's dust.
Jacoba is a driving force in this whole saga. We warned her the interview could take a while. So before we get started, she wants to smoke.
I'm fine. I was just asking so we could maybe smoke a cigarette. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll hurry.
Do you want company?
Yeah. Is it too cold for you?
Jacoba grew up in the Indianapolis suburbs, and now she lives on a gravel road an hour away. She and her husband moved here 13 years ago.
So we moved out here. 3 weeks later, he was deployed to Iraq, and both of our boys were in, like, grade school. So it sucked because I didn't know anybody. that was tough. And I cried and I was like, I hate it. Where did you move me? But now I like it. So, okay, I'll put this out. I'll be good.
We settle in her living room and start from the beginning. Like Matt, Jacoba knew she was a donor child. She found out when she was 10. Her parents had divorced years before, and one day they had a fight on the phone.
I was at home with my mom, and it was out of the blue. I don't know what they were arguing over, but she just looked at me and said, he's not your dad. I mean, she fully explained it to me. And she said, you know, he couldn't have children of his own. She said that they were referred to Dr. Klein, and that they were told that it was a medical resident and used no more than 3 times.
That was in 1979. Jacoba's mom was 20 years old, and like Liz White, she thought she was getting donor sperm.
I was so torn as a child. Like, I didn't pick sides. I just did not bring it up anymore, but I always had that in the back of my head.
Jacoba waited a few years, worked up the courage to ask her dad, and he lied. He said he was Jacoba's biological father, but she still wondered, partly because of how she looks. Jacoba is petite, blonde. She has blue eyes.
I mean, I even at one point thought, maybe I'm adopted, because I don't look like anybody. My mom has black hair, green eyes. I'm like, where did I come from? My half-brother that I grew up with has, you know, dark hair and everything. So, like, who do I look like?
Jacoba grew up, went to school, joined a volunteer fire department. She married her high school sweetheart.
We'll be married 20 years this year, and we have 2 children.
At the same time, Jacoba was looking for another kind of connection, the bond between siblings. She has a half-brother from her mother's previous marriage, but they were never really close. Her husband has 3 brothers, and she was always jealous of how close they were.
Of course, like, my brother-in-laws love me, just like I'm their sister, or they better. and I love them, but at the same time, like, when they would go and do their guy stuff, I would be left at home, and I would always sit there and say, I just wish I had a sister or a brother, like, somebody to do something with. And I thought, well, maybe I have 1 or 2 siblings out in this world.
She thought that because she was remembering what her mother had told her. Klein had said he used sperm donors for up to 3 successful pregnancies. It was possible she had 2 other half-siblings. They might even live somewhere in Indiana.
In the early 2000s, Jacoba was in her late teens, early 20s. At that time, there was no 23andMe, where she could send away her DNA and get a list of relatives. So sometime around 2002, Jacoba contacted the one person who might have answers, Klein.
I actually called him and I spoke to him at his office and I asked him, I told him that I was looking for information about my mother's sperm donor because I wanted to find siblings.
Jacoba remembers Klein told her the same story he told her mom. His donors were medical residents, and they were anonymous. Even if Klein had written down who the donor was, Indiana only requires medical records to be kept for 7 years. The file on Jacoba's mom had been shredded.
There was nothing he could do, any information he could give me. So that was pretty much a dead end. And he wished me good luck.
And how did that sit with you then? Like, did you believe him, I guess?
I did. I was young. And in our society, we're taught there's certain people that you hold to a higher regard. So you think, oh, well, he's a doctor. Why would he lie?
Years passed. Jacoba graduated from volunteer firefighter to full-blown EMT, but it stayed with her. Was it possible she had other siblings out there?
No one really knows how many children are conceived using sperm donors in the U.S. No agency is required to track those numbers. But websites like the Donor Sibling Registry have thousands of members searching for biological parents and half-siblings. On the site, donor children can input where they live, their mother's doctors, and contact information. If they're lucky, they might find a sibling or a biological parent. Jacoba posted on these sites early on, but she didn't find anything. Years later, in 2014, she tried again.
I went under and it said Dr. Donald Klein, Indianapolis, because you can search by state. And then I just put my email address in and, you know, the description that my mom was given. All I know is my mom was told that it was a medical resident.
She found some matches, people whose mothers also saw Donald Klein.
I found one posting. So I took that email address and put it in Facebook. And excuse my language. The first thing I turned around because my husband's sitting right here. And at the time we had our computer in the living room. I turned around and I said, holy shit. I think I found a sister.
Jacoba was excited. She didn't really know it was a sister, but she felt it. She reached out and the two exchanged messages, eventually talked on the phone. That woman told Jacoba she knew two other women, sisters, whose mother also saw Klein. The four decided to send their DNA to 23andMe to see if they were half-siblings.
For some reason, it took mine 8 weeks or longer. Mine just took forever. And ironically, when I found out, I was sitting at my aunt's house with my dad.
Remember, the last time Jacoba had spoken to her dad about how she was conceived, he told her that there was no sperm donor, that he was her biological father. But she was about to find out the truth either way, and she wanted to talk about it again. One last chance to hear it from him.
I had my back turned, and I said, I need to ask you a question again, and this time I need you to be honest. And he said, it's true. And I turned around, and we sat down and we started talking, and I told him, like, I never felt any differently about him, and that it didn't change anything. And as we were talking, one of those siblings texted me, and her text said, hi, sister.
Someone else who saw it before you, basically?
Yes. And I was like, oh, you know, I can't do anything right now. I can't reply because I was sitting right there with my dad. So I did not tell him that day.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I did not. Yeah, I told him that I took a DNA test and I was waiting on the results.
How did that conversation resolve before you left, I guess?
Honestly, I think it made things better between us. Because I left there with him knowing that I didn't feel any differently about him. Him saying, you know, I'd always be his daughter. And I think it made us communicate better.
Jacoba had found what she wanted. Not one, but three sisters. Women she had only spoken with a few months, but whom she formed an immediate connection with.
For a second, I felt relief. Because I had been talking to, you know, these three women. And it wasn't even just a bond of, oh, you know, we were created through using donor sperm. It was, these are my sisters. And it's really hard to explain because you automatically have this bond with that person. Because I have so many people ask me that. Like, how can you love somebody that you didn't grow up with? And I don't know. Like, I just do. And I guess, like, I tell people, it's not for them to understand. It's for me and my siblings to to understand. It's our journey. But it quickly changed from relief to very many questions.
Questions because it wasn't just those four women. The 23andMe results came back with an additional four siblings. Eight half-siblings sharing DNA. Eight half-siblings born over about 8 years. Klein said he only used a resident for three pregnancies. And how could Klein use the same medical resident over 8 years? An OBGYN residency is usually 4 years. Something didn't add up. So the siblings became detectives in a DNA mystery. Who was their sperm donor?
We would take every weekend and we would investigate and we plugged names into a family tree and we researched and Googled names and It was over 3,000 names that we put in.
They spent months working on this family tree. Then one day, on a hunch, she put a question to one of her newly discovered second cousins about her extended family.
Do you have any Kleins? And she came back and said, yes, I do. And that's when I think my heart dropped.
Klein. Among the branches of a growing family tree, Jacoba found a relative of her mother's doctor. At best, she thought Klein had lied about how many times he used a given donor who was apparently related to him. At worst, Klein was her father. It was possible. And it was something Jacoba and her newfound siblings increasingly believed.
I did call my mom and I told her. I said, look, this is what we found out. We're not for sure. And at first, my mom was like, oh, there's no way. It couldn't be. You know, he was so nice and he told us that he was using this medical resident. And so, I mean, other than, like I said, my siblings and my husband, I really didn't discuss it with many people. And I think, too, I was scared of the fact of, what if we're wrong? What if we're wrong? I don't want to be charged with slander. What proof do we have?
Hey, this is Jake.
And Lauren, thank you so much for listening to Sick.
It takes a lot of time and resources to make a podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, consider making a donation to WFYI.
Go to wfyi.org/give and be sure to mention Sick in the comments. That's wfyi.org/give. Thanks.
We had 6 breaking news stories back to back.
God.
It was awful. Fatal fire and a fatal hit and run and a robbery and just a bunch of stuff and the fog and the flooding. And so it was kind of a crazy morning.
Angela Ganote is a morning news anchor at Fox 59, a local TV station in Indianapolis. Her main job is to be an anchor. But occasionally, when she's not dealing with breaking news and being on camera, she gets to report a story. And in 2015, one of those stories came to her through Facebook.
On February 21st, 2015, I randomly get a Facebook message. The first 3 words say, please help me, exclamation point.
Angela read the whole message right away. The woman writing it told Angela the story as she knew it. Her mother's fertility doctor said he used medical residents as sperm donors. And for only 3 pregnancies each. But she said she had 7 biological half-siblings. Something was off.
I plead that you will consider helping me. Thank you, Jacoba Ballard.
Jacoba and her new siblings were at a standstill. They wanted more answers, but didn't know how to get them. They had filed complaints with the Indiana Attorney General's office. They thought maybe the AG can investigate this, but they didn't really hear anything back. So they turned to the media for help. Jacoba reached out to several people. Angela was the first to write back. And she did it fast.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to respond to her.
Reporters can get hundreds of pitches in a week. Emails, phone calls, handwritten letters. But no matter how passionate someone is about how they were wronged, it can be hard to follow up on he said, she said stories. But this wasn't he said, she said. This was she said and DNA said.
This is not just somebody who's saying, hey, I think that some guy may have used his sperm to inseminate my mom. Can you figure it out? Mm-hmm. She laid it out. My response was, have you talked to any other media outlets? Let's meet.
Jacoba came to the station with one of her half-siblings. And together they told Angela everything they knew.
I was just sitting right out here in the cafe where you guys walked past, sitting there at a table, and they are just filling me in with lots of documents. As soon as we got finished talking, I went into my news director's office and I said, you guys, I just met with these 2 women, and I know this story is going to sound crazy, You're going to hear a story about how a doctor, supposedly in the 70s, used his own sperm, and now there are at least 7 siblings here in the Indianapolis area. And they're concerned that there may be many, many more because this guy was in practice for years. And I said, they have what appears to be the evidence. And I said, will you just listen? And my boss right away, too, said, oh, my goodness, you have to follow the story. And I don't want to get too much into religion and things like that, but I do believe that my purpose here is to help expose truth. And sometimes I do. I feel like God uses me. There are certain stories that I believe are put really on my heart. And this was one that I knew for sure that was put on my heart that I was supposed to look into.
When she wasn't anchoring the morning news, Angela was looking into Donald Klein and his fertility clinic.
These accusations that Jacoba and her siblings made were serious. Angela had to double-check everything. The station got DNA tests for Jacoba and her half-sibling. And part of what Angela had to do was reach out to Klein, get his side of the story. So she called him.
It was something to the effect of, hi, Dr. Klein, my name is Angela Ganot. I've been approached by 2 women who believe that you may be their father. And they have a lot of questions.
At first, Klein didn't seem bothered. He told Angela the same thing he told Jacoba.
He went into telling me that same story about the fresh sperm, how he used medical residents. That time he told me that where his facility was across the street from St. Vincent. He would say when the woman would come in, I would go over to St. Vincent where he had a residence and he would get fresh sperm from them and he would walk back over to his fertility clinic.
Angela followed up with an email to get more information. Klein responded and signed off with a vague reference to patient privacy laws. He wrote, be very careful, exclamation point.
I feel like this was a threat. And so I'm thinking, wait, what is going on? Why would he have not have just said in that moment, Angela, I really feel for the siblings. Gosh, this is such a protected matter because of the people we used. You know, they believed that they were anonymous, and I can't help it. I understand. But I mean, to threaten me? Why would you threaten me if you didn't do anything wrong? That, to me, was the number one huge red flag.
But apart from these brief interactions, Angela had basically nothing from Klein. The station's own DNA results confirmed that Jacoba and the sibling who came to the station with her were related. But Fox 59 decided it was just too risky to name Klein in a story without first obtaining his DNA. So the TV report they put out was about the siblings' search for answers.
They are donor children searching for answers, but do they have the right to know anything about the man who helped?
Angela's story aired in May 2015.
My sisters. Oh,
they eventually show Jacoba's face, but they don't use her real name.
This is one of Carrie's half-sisters we're calling Julie.
Honestly, I want to know the truth. I feel like we deserve the truth.
It was unsatisfying for Angela. She's a perfectionist, and she felt like the story left a lot out.
How do you tell a story about a doctor you can't show, a fertility clinic that's not there anymore? I mean, the story is a doctor using his sperm to inseminate women. And I wanted it to convey for them the pain and how hard it had been for them to try to get to the truth. And so for me, I was glad the story was airing, but I felt like it still didn't do the story justice.
Jacoba, though, she understood why Angela couldn't name Klein. She was just happy the story would get some attention. It might lead to new clues for her and her siblings to follow.
I had more to do.
She would keep going.
I didn't feel like my work was done.
Angela's story didn't say that the doctor could be the father, but online, people put the pieces together anyway. More than 100 comments poured in on one of Fox's Facebook posts.
I think the doctor is the daddy, and that's why you didn't want to be in the interview.
Test the doctor.
Sounds like the doctor is the dad.
It was probably the doctor who performed the procedure.
Reminds me of an episode of SVU, but the donor was the doctor who was doing the inseminations.
Doctor donated right there in his office, no cup needed.
I mean, come on. How else is the same donor available with fresh sperm that quickly and for that many years?
So who is the doctor, really? That's next time on Sick.
I'm here, Sergeant Walker, and I'm here with Dr. Donald Klein. I guess let's start from the beginning.
Sick is a production of WFYI, Side Effects Public Media, and PRX. This program was made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
This episode was reported and produced by Jake Harper, Araceli Gomez Aldana, and me, Lauren Davis. Our editors are Curtis Fox and Dave Rosenthal. Original music by Jordan Munson. Sound design by Storyyard.
Visit our website, sickpodcast.org, and find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sick Podcast. If you liked this episode, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or share it with a friend. It really helps. I'm Jake Harper.
And I'm Lauren Davis. Thanks for listening.